Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Job chapter 23. Job was a guy who went through it. In 9 months, his trial may seem short to some. His trial may seem short to some, but he's a guy who genuinely went through it. Now, it's brevity because there are people who have trials that last for years, sometimes even decades. Its brevity was not reflective of its nature. The trial may have been brief compared to some, but 9 months is still 9 months. It may have been brief compared to some, but it was also profoundly intense. I mean, the man lost everything. He lost his health, he lost his property, he lost his family. I mean, it all came down on him. And it's easy for a believer to compare themselves to other believers or to somebody like Job. And in some ways, they can use it to edify and to kind of bolster themselves. And that's, I don't think that's necessarily bad. My mother-in-law, when she was so ill, she used to say, you know, there are plenty of people who have it worse than I do. And so she was kind of using that as kind of to ground herself. But there are also people who say, well, I should not be even experiencing a trial. It is not what somebody else is experiencing. Look at this person, how much worse they have it than I. And then they sort of beat themselves over the head because they are aware that they are in a trial, but in their own estimation, it doesn't measure up to somebody else's trial. Well, that's comparing ourselves among ourselves, and that's not a wise thing to do. The trial is according to capacity. It's not according to the characteristics or the details of the trial. The trial is according to capacity. Now, there are certain things, if I have a smaller capacity, that can be a tremendous trial, and God sees it as such. There are certain things that if I have a great capacity, that maybe somebody would consider it to be very difficult, but the person of great capacity can walk through it with fair ease. That's not because they're better. That's just because they've had a greater capacity built in them over years, usually, through different things. So never compare your trials to that of another believer. Compare your trials to the will of God. And there you have the reality of your trial. What is really a trial anyway? And this isn't about trials, but what is really a trial anyway? Isn't it simply God testing or proving something, reinforcing something? Isn't that really what it's God purifying something in my heart? Isn't that what a trial is anyway? So how do I look at another believer and say, your purification is better than my purification? Right? The purpose God has, God's thoughts toward you are better than God's thoughts toward me. God's purpose toward you is better than God's purpose toward me. That doesn't make any sense. Your God is better than my God? I don't think so. There is only the one God. And He doesn't change, and He is not a respecter of persons. Never look at your trial according to what somebody else is going through. Look at your trial in the light of the Word of God. And then you'll have some semblance of understanding what your trial really is. But in Job 23, in verse 10, the Word of God says, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I will come forth as gold. He knows the way that you take. In Exodus 33:17, in the latter part of the verse, He says, I know you by name. This is something that's important for me as a believer to keep in my mind, really in the forefront of my mind. That God knows me by name. God knows you by name. It doesn't mean only that he knows what to call you. It means he knows who you are. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your history. One of the reasons I love, I understand a lot of people don't particularly like reading this, but the genealogies. The genealogies in some respects absolutely fascinate me. That God could tell you who begat the next one, and that one had 10 kids, and these were the kids, and each one of those had 6 kids, and that other one had 5 kids, and these were their names, and this is what they did, and then he goes all the way back to the other generations, and then his brother, the guy we started with, he had 7 kids, and 3 daughters, and 4 sons, and this is what they did, and this is what happened, and down the road like that, all the way up to me, he could do that. He knows me. That means he knows my genetic makeup. He knows my history. He knows the things that brought me to where I am. He knows me. He knows each individual believer. He knows everything about you. I think sometimes we can feel isolated, and it's usually because two things: emotions and the way we relate to other people. We can feel very isolated. But even if I am genuinely isolated, God knows me. There's not a time when people will misunderstand you that God will also misunderstand you. He knows you. When you pray, He knows precisely what it is that you are praying. When you talk to people, He knows precisely what it is what you're saying. He knows exactly who and what you are. He knows you. Now, on the one hand, the Father does not know me after the flesh. On the other hand, the Spirit lives in me. He even knows my mistakes. The Spirit does. The Father doesn't see them. But the Spirit knows my mistakes. He knows why I make them. This is why He can have such a great deal of compassion. Because He knows why I make them. The Spirit knows why I choose the way and the things that I choose. He knows the stuff that I'm supposed to forget. He forgets also. But at the same time, He knows the effect that they have on me. And He knows how to fix that. In Isaiah 53, we're told that by His stripes we're healed. And He knows exactly how that healing needs to take place. The amazing thing about God is that He knows me so well that He will bring me into things I simply cannot comprehend. And He knows their outcome. And He knows exactly how my heart, my soul, will react to those things. He knows exactly the effect that they will have in me. And He arranges them. And so sometimes I'll say to God, God, why did you do that? And the answer that God offers is not usually an explanation of why, but it's the question: will you trust me? See, I can trust Him because He knows me. I remember when Pastor Schaller became the pastor of our ministry, and I was so grateful that he was the pastor. And the reason for that was because He knows me. And I remember thinking to myself, He knows me. I used to hang out with Him when I was in Bible college. We took a trip together to Europe on a missions thing. He knows me. This is a guy who understands who I am. He remembers me. The other people who were possibilities, I remember the one fellow I said hello to in the fellowship hall, and he just kind of looks at me, and then he just turns around and walks away. Now, I was a fairly young believer. I think I was still in Bible college, maybe not too long out of Bible college at the time. And, you know, it really was not an edifying thing to have happen. But so I thought, okay, whatever. But it wasn't edifying. But that man did that because he didn't know me. I saw him have an exchange with people that he did know. And that is not how he was with them. And the point of that is saying, God knows me. He knows you. He knows the way that I take. He knows the path I'm on. He knows where it went from. You see, I don't know where I'm coming from. Oh, I can tell you that I came from over there. But I don't really know what over there really in its fullest was. I just know where it was. You see, the Holy Spirit is like the wind, right? It blows where it will, but we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. God knows. That's the thing, God knows. And God has established a plan for the believer's life, knowing what He knows about each believer. So I can never say, God, you don't get it. God, you just don't understand. No, He actually does. And the plan that He established for my life is on the basis of the fact that He completely understands. He gets it. We may look at people sometimes and say, boy, you know, isn't that kind of like, we say that in our heart, we don't verbalize, we say, boy, wow, not so good, or maybe amazing. But the fact is, we don't know. He does. When the things that happen in your life don't seem to make sense to you, don't worry about that. He gets it. They make sense to Him. The reason why they don't make sense to me is because I don't know the end from the beginning. But He does. Never feel like you are unknown. There's so many believers who lament in the depth of their heart, and they feel like nobody really gets them, nobody really understands them, nobody really knows them. And maybe that's even true in some cases. But God does. God knows exactly. And He completely gets it. And He completely understands. Folks, God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He actually knows you. He knows your name. He knows your character. He knows what makes you tick. He knows you. The Word of God says in Psalm 139:2 that He knows my down-sitting and my uprising. And He understands my thought from afar off. In other words, He knows why I do the things I do. And He knows what I'm thinking. But He doesn't just know what I'm thinking. He completely, with a perfect understanding, understands what I'm thinking, understands the reason why I'm thinking it, understands the effect that it has on me, and understands where it's going to take me. And not only does He understand all that, He understands all those things before I actually think it. He knows that 10 years from now, at September 12th, of whatever hour, maybe 1:35 and 36 seconds, I'm going to be thinking this thought, and He knows precisely why. And He knows the fullness of that thought. And He knows what that thought is doing in my heart, whether it's edifying me or tearing me down, whether it's something that is from Him or something that is from another source. He knows exactly everything about that thought. And He knows that those thoughts are the things that produce my decisions. He knows why I do what I do. Sometimes a person will do things and they do them before God. And they may even have a leading to do them, but nobody else totally gets it. Or sometimes people are asked to do things that others are not to know about. I know in larger ministries particularly, this can happen sometimes. The pastor may ask an individual or two, please do this for me, but it's important that nobody is aware of it. Because of capacities and misunderstandings and various things that can possibly take place. So please do this for me, but I don't want anybody else to know of this. And that person will do something and it makes absolutely no sense to the other people in the church. And maybe they're doing something and they say, hey, why don't you come on out with us on outreach or prayer or whatever, dinner, whatever. Why don't you, and say, I'm sorry, I would love to, but I really can't. No, just come on. No, I'm sorry, I would absolutely love to, but I can't. And they can't even tell you why. God knows why. God knows exactly why. And people who get in those positions, that can become very uncomfortable for them. But God knows exactly why. I don't know why. I don't know my thoughts from afar off. I cannot tell you what in 10 years, on September 12th at 1:35 and 36 seconds in the afternoon, I will be thinking. But God can. He knows. You are known by God. Nobody else might know you, perhaps, but you are known by God. Don't try to hide your thoughts from Him. Pour them out to Him. Because He's the only one who perfectly understands them. You don't pour your certain things out to other people. But you can pour anything out to God. Because He perfectly understands. He knows you. The Word of God says in Isaiah 66:18, I know their works and their thoughts. I know what they're doing and I know why they did it. He knows them. Now in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28, David came to the army. David had a call. And David had a purpose. And David came over to the army that was standing off against the Philistines. And this tough army of Israel was really kind of cowardly. And the Philistines defied the armies of the Most High God. And the army of the Most High God did absolutely not one thing about it. Because they were afraid of the giant. And so they did nothing. They just let it go. And here's this little 15-year-old kid. Isagogix tells us he was not a very big guy. He was fairly short in stature. He was a redhead, a pretty boy. Literally a pretty boy. If you put it in the vernacular. So here's this little pretty boy. Comes up against the Philistine. Can you imagine what the Philistine must have been thinking? Or comes in front of the army of God, you know, the army of Israel. What were they thinking? Well, his brother told him exactly what you're thinking. You're proud, you're arrogant, you're puffed up, you don't even belong here, get out of here. So they told him. But he knew that he had a call from God. Why did God give David that call? The little pretty boy should not have been there. By all rights, if you walk by sight. Why did God give the little kid a call? Because God knew his heart. God wasn't interested in David's ability. He was pretty good with a slingshot. God wasn't so much interested in the fact that he killed a lion and a bear, except that it built his confidence in God. God knew this kid's heart. And God knew that this kid was the only person of Israel who was not going to be afraid of the giant and was going to be willing to go and take this guy on. And God knew that this kid was the one, out of all of those thousands of mighty soldiers, God knew that this kid was the one who was not going to be afraid to fight the Philistine. He didn't care that he was 9 foot tall and he was something like 5'6". He was not afraid to fight the Philistine. And that was the end of the story. And God knew that. And God knew that David trusted God, and that's why he wasn't afraid. It wasn't that he trusted himself, it's that he knew his God. And God knew that. God knows the condition of the heart. Now, God did not condemn the armies of Israel. God simply sent someone who had the right heart. It was that simple. It's like Gideon. God did not condemn the 31,700 men that he eventually sent home. He said nothing negative about them. But he knew the 300 hearts. And that's what God was interested in. God knows your heart. Do you understand that? God knows your heart. People don't get it. God knows your heart. There's no fooling him. He knows. In Exodus 3:7, he knows your sorrows. People go through these things and they kind of quietly suffer on their own. And somebody, hey, how are you doing? And sometimes if you say how I'm doing, then people kind of look at you like, I wish I hadn't asked. Or maybe you're a little bit off. God knows the sorrow. He knows your sorrow. He knows what sorrow is. He had it. He stood before Jerusalem and wept. Lazarus died and he wept. God knows what it is to weep. God knows what it is to have sorrow. God knows what it is to care about someone but feel totally helpless. Isn't that what he said as he stood in front of Jerusalem? How often I would have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. He knows that helpless feeling that people get. God knows. He was God. And he felt helpless to do something about it. And he was God. He knows that. He knows what that's like. In Psalm 103, he knows what I'm made of. He knows my frame and he remembers that I'm nothing more than dust. He knows that. God, I'm insufficient in my own heart. God, I am insufficient. And God says, I know. Don't worry about it. It's not a problem. My insufficiency and your insufficiency is no problem to God. It's not going to prevent something from happening. It's not going to prevent Him from using you. It's not going to prevent you from entering into a call. It's not going to prevent His plan for your life. It's not going to prevent His purpose or His will in your life. The fact that you are insufficient simply means that you are made of dust. He knows that you're made of dust. You are the workmanship. You are His workmanship, right? Ephesians 2:10. You are His workmanship. He knows what He's making you out of. He knows that it's nothing but dust and a little bit of water, and that that is who you are. And that does not stop Him. He knows your capacity. That does not stop Him. He knows your emotional state, and that does not stop Him. He knows how you are thinking, and that does not stop Him. He knows even that you might fail, and that does not stop Him. What happens if you fail? So what if you did? He is able to make you stand in Romans 14:4. He catches you because underneath are His everlasting arms in Deuteronomy 33. He knows. God knows. He knows you. God knows you. Do you get that? God knows you. He knows absolutely what you are about. He knows. Oh, I don't feel so good about that because really in my heart I know what I'm about. You know what? He already knows what's in your heart. He knows that. In Psalm 44:21, He knows the secret things of the heart. You got a secret? You think you're hiding it from God? He knows. How do you hide something in your heart that where He lives? Let's say, here God, I'm going to put it in your house and that way I will hide it from you. Now that's really swift. But that's what we do as believers, isn't it? Sometimes, oh, I don't want God to know that about me. Well, He knows anyway. What can I hide? Where can I hide, right? Isn't that what the psalmist said? Psalm 139:7. Where can I hide from His presence? I can hide in my head. No, you can't. That's the thing. Your soul has five parts. One of them is your mind. You cannot hide in your mind. God is there. That's part of the beauty. That's part of why He knows. Because He's there. He sees it. He hears it. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. And you know what? There's another thing He knows. God says in Revelation 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience. I know these things. I know your work. I know what your blood, sweat, and tears. I know how patient you are. People are difficult and you are patient. Circumstances are difficult and you are patient. You continue even when you feel like you cannot continue. God knows this. He is aware of it. He knows. He knows this. In 2:9 of Revelation, I know your tribulation and your poverty. And I even know this. I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews, but they are not Jews. They are the synagogue of Satan. I know what grief those people have given you, He says. I know the hardship that has come into your life because of them. And in 2:13, He says, I know that where you live. I know where you dwell. I know where you live. I know like where your thoughts are constantly going to. He knows that. He knows these things. He said, I know that you held fast my name and nobody else knows about it, but you have been faithful to me. And in the privacy of your home where nobody could see you, you have been faithful to me. And I know that, He says. I know that. He says, I know that you have not denied the faith. I know that when nobody was looking, you stood in integrity before me. He knows that. He knows the little decisions of the heart, even when I'm there all by myself. And He sees them and they are valuable to Him. You may think to yourself, oh, I have given out and people and all this stuff. God knows. God knows. You think to yourself, I keep like kind of like David. I maintain my integrity before God. Nobody knows that I maintain my integrity before God. Maybe I'm not very high profile, but I maintain my integrity before God. But I don't get much recognition. But I still, you know what? God knows. He knows that your heart has integrity before Him. He knows that when the temptation comes and you do not choose it and you have decided to go God's way, even in the privacy where nobody else would be aware, He is aware of it. He knows. He knows. He knows the love that you have in Revelation 2:19. People love quietly. And maybe they can't even express because of whatever reasons, but people love quietly. And they pray because they love. And they try to be kind even when their kindness is not received. But there is one who does receive the kindness, and that is God. See, whatever I have done unto the least of these, I have done it unto Him. There is no qualifier there that says, whatever I have done unto the least of these, and they received from me. Maybe you are kind to people and it's not received, but it is received as kindness to God. And He knows it. He knows it. It's not lost on God. Nothing about your life is lost on God. He knows it. Everything about your life is in perfect view and perfect clarity to Him. He knows who you are. He knows you. He knows when I keep His word in Revelation 3:8. He knows when I don't deny Him. He knows that you have a little bit of strength and He knows exactly how much strength you have. He knows your capacity. He knows your willingness. He knows it. He knew that Judas would betray him, but he gave him opportunity anyway. He knew that John would be underneath the cross, and he gave him the same opportunity. He knows the choices that will be made, and he expresses kindness regardless of which way the choice goes. He knows. He always knows. What do you think would have happened if Judas did what Peter did? If Judas saw the soldiers taking him away and then started weeping? I don't know, but my guess is that Judas would have been one of the great apostles, just like Peter was. You see, God was not interested so much in the fact that Peter would deny him. God was interested in Peter. God is not interested so much in the fact that you're going to make your mistakes, you're going to get some things right, and you're going to get some things wrong. God is interested in you. The things you make that are mistakes, He's taken care of those already. And so He's completely free to be interested in you. And His attention is not diverted from you because of your lack of perfection. His attention is given to you. You have His undivided attention because He loves you. Sit right there. He knows you. He simply knows you. There's one more thing that God knows. He knows the thoughts that He thinks. And you know what amazes me? He knows me and He still says, "I love you with an everlasting love." Go figure. But that is true. That is the way it is. And He still says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil." In Hebrews 4:3, He still says that I can enter into His rest. And He knows you. Never feel like you are alone in anything. And though everyone may misunderstand, you are still not misunderstood. Though no one else may get it, you are still perfectly understood. Not by a man perhaps, but most definitely by God. Amen?